You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Walter Wuthman, in for Tiziana Dearing.
All my friends, all my friends will meet the end.
That's Newton's own Aoife O'Donovan's new song, All My Friends, from her new album of the same name. O'Donovan has used folk music as a way to talk about issues in America, and her new project explores the struggle for women's rights and independence. The Grammy Award-winning artist has a message to all her friends. The fight is far from over. We spoke with Aoife yesterday, and I started by asking her how growing up around Boston shaped her as an artist.
I feel like that was the best possible place to grow up. I had a really incredible childhood in the Boston area, and I was totally steeped in the folk tradition. Many people in Boston will know that my dad, Brian O'Donovan, was a radio music host on WGBH and a big sort of champion of Celtic music. And my parents had a lot of musician friends always coming through town and crashing with them, you know, Irish musicians, Scottish musicians, folk musicians. We had great music parties, and Boston has a pretty big roots music scene. And as I got into college, it just kind of one thing led to another.
So it's kind of in your blood.
It is. It definitely is. I can't avoid it.
This is your fifth studio album on your own, but you've been part of many projects and bands. You even have a Grammy for the song Call My Name. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that's with your band I'm With Her. And I wanted to listen to some of that.
Once upon a life not so long ago, showed you what I got, laid my heart low on a patchwork quilt of leaves and an opalescent sky.
So how does writing and playing music in a band compare to solo work?
Gosh, that's a great question. I came up playing in bands. I started a band called Crooked Still. That was kind of my first main Boston-based band that where I was really collaborative in nature with other musicians. That band primarily dealt with rearranging traditional folk songs. So as a songwriter, I was kind of always writing on my own, on the side, and it wasn't really until I'm With Her started in 2015 that I got really excited about actually writing music with other people. And I think there's something about the chemistry between Sarah Watkins and Sarah Droz and me and the mutual respect where writing music together, actually somebody saying, here's a melody idea, here's a lyric idea, and somebody else saying, how about this? And how about this? Or not that? Or, you know, it's just, you really have to be working with people who you respect. And I think that back to sort of the folk and roots scene, that I it's full of that. It's full of people who are incredible musicians, but also very confident and very lacking in ego and lacking in the things that sort of make it hard to collaborate.
Have you taken some of the things you've learned from the other Sarahs and put it into the new album?
Absolutely. I mean, of course, that they're Sarah and Sarah, and as well as like many other of my frequent collaborators, are just huge influences on me in general. This project is, I mean, it's called All My Friends, my new record, and it's, you know, it's about voting. It's inspired by suffrage. It's inspired by, you know, the women's rights movement of the, you know, 19 teens and the passage of the 19th Amendment, and sort of juxtaposed with, I think, other things that women and sort of marginalized communities are facing today. And it's not any sort of like historic document. It's more of my own musings and observations. And it's a folk album at its core, but it's maybe slightly more topical than I've gone before.
So I think it might be fair to say you have a historical friend in this album named Carrie Chapman Catt. Can you tell me about her?
Yeah, I love thinking of her as my historical friend. I, of course, you know, there are so many famous suffragists that we grow up hearing about, Susan B. Anthony, and you know, people who are on the coins, and the people who are maybe a little bit more famous and more well-known. Carrie Chapman Catt, she is very well-known, I think, but it's in maybe more of a niche scene. I didn't hear about her or hadn't really clocked her until I kind of sat down to work on this piece, which started as a commission, an orchestral commission to write music based around the 19th Amendment. And when I started to sort of access and uncover, or not really uncover, but just sort of came across her speeches and her letters and her words, her spirit came alive to me and it became so vivid. And I felt that she was really speaking not as somebody from, you know, 1916. At these speeches, I was like, holy cow, I could be listening to this speech on NPR right now. Mm. It just felt totally timely and therefore very inspiring to kind of reshape those words and use her as a bit of an inspiration.
Well, let's listen to some of this music.
Yeah.
So one of the songs that's out now is called Daughters. We brought a little bit and let's listen.
The veins of these women are bold American daughters.
So as you say, you know, this song and this whole album is about the history of progress in this country and the 100 years since women earned the right to vote, but also about the ongoing and continuing fight for women's rights. Tell me more about that process of deciding to write a whole album on these themes and on this struggle.
It's funny. I think that as a woman, you know, and as a mother, I think this is something I thought about a lot while kind of working on this music, is these women were on the streets, they were fighting, they were marching, they were trying to get the right, they were trying to secure their right to vote. I think as a woman and as a mother in 2024, even 2021, 2022, 2023, when I was writing this record, you know, just sort of watching what's happening in the world around us and, you know, explaining to my daughter, oh, well, you know, we haven't had a female president, or, oh, well, you know, back in the old days, I'm working on this album where women didn't have the right to vote. And, you know, I took my daughter to vote in a local election recently, and she asked, she's like, do you think there will be women there? And, you know, and I was like, yes, you know, hopefully there will be people there, you know, trying to explain to her, gosh, sometimes people don't even show up to vote. I think that when you start thinking about those things and how we do have this right, and yet a lot of people don't exercise that right. And I think that that's something that is my hope, that listening to this record and even just sort of becoming more aware of your local elections, your state elections, not just the big general election that's looming, people are inspired to become more involved and more educated and do their civic duty and show up.
So you end the album on a cover of The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, which is a classic Bob Dylan song. I'm wondering why that song spoke to you and why you chose it as sort of the capstone of this project for you.
It's a sort of a coda of sorts to this record. It obviously jumps, you know, 40 years into the future. And Bob Dylan is singing about a true event, a woman who worked in a hotel in Baltimore, Maryland, and was killed by a 26-year-old guy, you know, who got off with nothing more than a slap in the wrist, a 6-month sentence, and for sort of this like absolutely ridiculous murder. And it just felt that, I mean, sadly, you read stories about this all the time, even still, and this is whatever, 60 years later, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I felt that putting this version of The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll on the record may seem out of sort of random or like it doesn't make sense, but to me, it completely does make sense. It starts with this sort of excerpt of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which was an abolitionist song initially repurposed, you know, for many different things over the years. And this arrangement of Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll for orchestra is by my friend Gabriel Kahane. It's just a gorgeous, sort of stark and uncomfortable arrangement. And at the end of the song, you know, he sings, or Bob Dylan writes, you know, now is the time for your tears, you know, like bury the rag deep in your face. Now is the time for your tears. And I think that that kind of ties in lyrically to the rest of the record, that sometimes you do have to stop and say, okay, we can grieve this, we can mourn this. And yet there's stuff still unsaid, which is that we have to sort of get up and do the work.
There are a lot of dark themes here, you know, grief and tragedy and injustice. Where are you drawing light from? Where are you finding hope?
I personally am finding hope in children, in the future, and in the idea that it's really easy to think this is a really dark time, or, you know, I sing in another song on the record sort of over and over again, we're living in hard times, and we are living in hard times, but we've lived through hard times before, and you know, you have to be able to see that tiny spark somewhere and nurture it and let the flame grow and feel the fire. You know, it's like it's you always you can't just be weighted down by all of this darkness. You must continue to see the light. And for me, I think I see that personally in my daughter and in my family and in sort of being so inspired by incredible activists, by incredible local politicians. I feel so lucky to live in a place where there are incredible people doing such great work and bringing communities together. And everywhere, if you look hard enough, I think you'll find that.
There's a line in the album, "We can't leave the fight to the daughters of our daughters." What are you hoping those daughters hear?
Well, Sunny, that on that exact song that we just listened to a minute ago, there's the San Francisco Girls Chorus is singing with me, and it's a incredible chorus full of young women based in the Bay Area. They're all teenagers, and having them on the record was very important to me, to sort of have these young voices. I want them to hear that we're not gonna leave it to them. You know, we're all gonna work together and try to make the world a better place. And it sounds totally silly to say, but it's really true.
And I read this is your first self-produced album. You kind of got to take the reins and make choices, like, you know, including this girls choir. What did you learn about producing that's different than songwriting and performing?
Producing, it's something I'm really glad I did on this record. I was helped by two co-producers, by Darren Schneider, who's my engineer for this record and my last record, Age of Apathy, and also by my husband, Eric Jacobson, who's a real champion of my work and works with a ton of women, and he's just has great ears and was really a huge help to me on this project. But producing is, you know, it's scary. You're kind of like, oh gosh, is it done? Should we add this? Should we take this away? But it was a great experience, a great learning experience, and ultimately, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Do you have thoughts percolating on the next album? And I know this is just about to come out, and it's an unfair question, but you know, I'm curious.
No, I mean, I'm always working on the next thing. It's funny. I was saying to somebody last week, I'm like, it's great that I'm getting to do all these interviews, but you know, I just want to like play my guitar and work on all these new songs. So it's there's definitely more music coming and a lot of great touring coming up also. So I'm really looking forward to hitting the road and playing these songs live.
That's Grammy Award-winning folk singer and songwriter Aoife O'Donovan. Her album All My Friends comes out March 22nd, and will go out with the song Over the Finish Line. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Radio Boston is produced by Amanda Beland, Rob Lane, and Kyrie Thompson. We had help today from our fellow Sydney Coe. Marquise Neal is our senior technical director, and Yasmin Ammer is our executive producer. I'm Walter Wuthman. Thanks for listening. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston. Living in hard